This sort of looks a bit official, me standing here, when actually my heart is that we would imagine ourselves in a living room at home and we're all just sat around. Some of us are on the floor, some of us in comfy chairs, and we're actually, this is just a family time. But because we need to record it, it's sort of easier if I stand here. So for some of you, and I really actually don't know where I'm going this morning, which is great. But we'll get there, and we might be done by 5:30, you know. So, just looking around, there are a few faces who weren't here last week, so I'm just going to do a bit of a recap of where we're at and where we're at. I was going to say where we're heading, but we don't know where we're heading, so can't really explain that one. So, last week, Mike discussed our history as a church. And he went right back to before Freedom, whatever you want to call it, Freedom Family Church, Freedom Fellowship. It's had several names over the years. So Mike went right back to the very beginning to talk about how things had been established. And he talked in terms of what God had led us to and what God was on God's heart from the very beginning and the sort of journey that we took. And in the whole process of what we did, our desire was to do things the way God wanted us to do. But because we're human and we interpret things with our own parameters and our own set of precepts, then sometimes the things that we thought God was saying was not exactly how he wanted to outwork it. So, I mean, my experience, I have been part of Freedom. Freedom started in August 1994. Jeremy and I joined in January 1995, so we were right at the beginning of things. It was crazy. It's like crazy. I mean, we personally came out of a rather difficult church situation into mayhem, actually. It was just like we came the first morning to just sort of visit to see what it was about. Some friends of ours said, oh, you know, why don't you come for lunch and just sort of pop in for half an hour at, you know, meet us there. And it was just like, there was all sorts of weird things going on. People were on the floor screaming and there was laughing and just, it was like, and somebody came up and said, oh, welcome to the zoo. And it really was like that. But for some reason, we decided that we would join this crazy bunch of people anyway. And as the years have gone on, Mike has often had revelation. He's a visionary, you know, he's a pioneer, and he wants to follow what God is doing. So he said, oh, I see this, and we're going to do this. And the rest of us have been like, okay, yeah, we'll shift, we'll do the new way. And it's been great, because there's been progression, and there's been forward motion, and we felt like we were on the cutting edge of things. And it's also been quite awkward and difficult and challenging, and we've lost people along the way and we've gained people, and it's been a long process. And one of the things that Mike said last week was that he felt that God gave him this picture. So when he started the heavenly pursuit, God gave him a picture of him on a horse, and he was riding through this valley with all the people. When he gets to the top of the hill and he looks back and he's like, oh, where's everybody else? And God told him to go slower. Well, when Mike told us this story, you know, I don't know how many, was it 5 years ago? Oh, was it 8 years ago? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, at the time, I'm just like, I don't think you understand what slow means. You know, it's just like, the rest of us are just like, oh, we'll get there eventually. And then I think we got to the point where we're like, actually, we don't need to be like Mike. That's not what we have to be like. We have to be ourselves, and we have to find our own way in this. And just in pondering how this works, I was thinking about what it was like when I used to go cycling with my children when they were younger. So when they were quite small, sort of like, I don't know, 6 and 8, we'd go out for bike rides. And if I took them out on my own, the decision that I had to make was, do I lead or do I follow? Because if I'm leading, then I'm the one who's dealing with all the things that we're encountering. So if you have to cross the road, I'm the one who gets there first. I'm the one who has to, you know, if something happens and there's some danger, then I'm the one in front. But actually, then that meant I couldn't see them. So my desire was to be able to see them. So I would cycle at the back. and I would just shout instructions to them, you know, and be like, stop, slow down, you know. And so for me, it was like I wanted to be able to keep an eye on them, because not that I was driving them forwards, but just so that I was able to keep pace with them and make sure that they weren't getting stuck. You know, if they, one of them fell off their bike and I was just like cycling on merrily, I wouldn't have known. So that's what I was thinking about with this process that we're going through. My desire is that whoever's facilitating, and it could be anybody really, you know, whoever feels a heart for it, but at this point it's probably one of the seven, is that we're following behind and we're sort of like guiding from the back rather than pulling forwards and pulling something from the front. Because actually we as a group of people facilitating want to be able to see the whole picture with everybody in mind. Does that make sense? So my heart for this is that I would like everybody to feel that they're part of this process. So if you are ahead of us and you see something that looks exciting, you think, oh gosh, I think we need to explore this, we can sort of say, oh yeah, wow, that looks good. I didn't see that first. You know, I'm not saying this is a free-for-all. I'm saying that every single person has a part to play. And I really, what Karen read this morning from Romans about we're all a body and we all have a different part to play is so sort of appropriate for what I feel God is saying at this point. So what I'd like to do, and I was hoping that Jo was here and I forgot that she wasn't going to be here, is that as a seven, and last week we stood up. So can I just ask, if you're part of the seven, that you put your hand up now, because not everybody. So it's Dan, Marika, myself, Karen, Deb, Graham, who's on holiday, and Joe. So at this point in time, we are carrying the governmental responsibility, but carrying it from underneath, hopefully, rather than carrying it like a carrier bag. So we want to be just encouraging that. Oh, sorry, I've completely lost my track. Oh yeah, everybody's got a part to play. And I just feel like I want to like gather people and show you and like share the process that we're going through, so that even though we may be doing things separately, then you feel that you understand the process, because the more you understand, the more ownership you feel of it. So as a seven, we gathered last week, and Joe was like, oh, I really feel that God has put this on my heart to do something. And normally she's quite quiet and sort of takes a step back. But actually, something must have risen within her, because she was really forthright, wasn't she? And just led us. And it was really great. And she was talking about how as a group of people, we're really wanting to pursue community. We really feel that community, and that's what God said right from the beginning about freedom, that it was going to be built on relationship, and we feel like we've lost something along the way. And we're not casting blame, but there's been this loss of identity of who we like are foundationally, because we've sort of pursued other things. So she said, I really think that we need to do a court case, and just like if there's any accusations against us as a body to do with community, we're going to deal with those. So we all stepped into heaven. And for those of you don't understand this whole thing, it's like we believe that there is a heavenly court where the enemy can come in and accuse us of things that are things that will then come against us and trip us up. So we by faith we stepped into the heavenly court, and God is the judge, so he always sees us as righteous, but it is a place where we can just see what the sort of spiritual dynamics are. So we did that. And then Jo was saying that she felt that Ian Clayton had taught a long time ago that when you have spheres of influence, when you have mountains of authority, then there's like a treasury room in the mountain that is the resources that you need for what you're doing. So say healing is your mountain of authority. There are tools and ideas and teachings and all sorts of things that God has provided within that sphere. So we decided that we would go into the mountain and just see what God was going to give us. And this may sound a bit weird, but it's just a faith thing. And then we also felt that because when the enemy accuses you, it opens the door for him to then take things from you. So he can rob you of things that belong to you. And he takes them to a place which is known as Satan's trophy room. So again, we felt that we should go into that place. And God, after the court case, God gave us a key which enabled us to go and unlock and retrieve anything that belonged to us. And these may be physical things. I think we had oil for healing, but it may be concepts. So it may be joy and freedom and all sorts. And we also felt that there may be just some people who had been hurt by freedom, not purposely, but just over the time, people do get hurt in church situations. It seems to be one of the classic things that actually, if you're a Christian, you're more likely to be hurt by the church than anything else, which is a bit pants, really. So we just felt like we needed to repent, we needed to forgive, we just wanted to clear the ground so that we could move forward. So in terms of being inclusive and in drawing you along with the journey, we just wanted you to know what we'd done. And if you think, oh, I don't understand that at all, that just doesn't make sense to me, then come and talk to us, come and ask us about what we did. You know, if you feel you just need a bit more revelation, that's fine, you know. Sorry, I'm just going to quickly look at my phone for notes. So what we also have been considering as a seven and also with the musicians and just like we've been in this process for, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 months now, particularly when the bench of three at that point felt like God was saying that the boundaries were off and the walls were down and actually Sunday can be different. As a group of people, as a group of seven, we began to ask the questions, why do we gather and what does it look like? And, you know, there are so many deeply, deeply entrenched ideas of what church is about. It may be, you know, if you've grown up in church and you've spent your whole life in church, you know, for me, I started going to church when I was a baby. I went to a church school, so we had Christian assemblies. You know, I have spent my whole life in church, you know, the established church. And I was having a chat with Jeremy about something and I was trying to just discuss this. And we were just like, what could it look like? And I started to say something and I'm like, oh, I can't do that because that's not what church looks like. You know? And I was just like, oh, no. It's like I have thought patterns that I want to deconstruct. And I would imagine that even people who've not had that experience, as growing up in British culture, there are people who have never had any experience of church, and that's wonderful. But, you know, we have songs of praise. We have, you know, we have Christmas that can be carol singing. It can be church-based. It's part of our culture that church is sort of somewhere there. So what I'd like to do this morning, and hopefully you want to come with me, is first of all, I'd like to encourage us to step into a place where we can begin to deconstruct the old thinking. So, and this is not going to be a one-off. This is going to be a process, and it probably is going to be a long process, because particularly if we've got very deeply entrenched thinking, it's like every time we get to a certain understanding of something, it may be that we have to challenge it. But what I would like us to do to begin with is, okay, so this is how it works for me. If this doesn't work for you, you can find a different way. Yeah. So a while ago, several years ago, I was in a leaders meeting and I found myself, we just sort of decided to step into heaven. We're just like, let's just engage with God. And I found myself in this place where there was like, it was bright and big and there was all these sort of like flashing lights going on and there was sort of strands of gold and colors sort of being woven in and out of this place, and it was just amazing. And so when we sort of came back together and we shared where we'd been, I described this and Mike was like, well, you know where you were, what, don't you? I was just like, no, I don't know where I was. I was just like, just got taken there. And he said that I was in the heart of God. And so for me, the heart, it's like we want our DNA to be restored because we carry memories in our cells. So if we carry that memory in our cells and that we have DNA in every cell, then the place where DNA is restored, it, for me, is the place to go, because that's the place where we get things taken out and things put in. So what I'm going to encourage us to do at this point is to, and hopefully you can join with me, and if it's something that you can envision, then do that. But if you just need to step in by faith and you don't see anything, that's great. But just, we're going to engage with God, and we're going to engage with that heavenly DNA, that golden strand of DNA, which is God's DNA. And we're going to ask him to remove every memory and every concept. And as I say, this is a process of what we believe church to be. And then ask him to impart into us his like blueprint of what this looks like. And when I say blueprint, I really don't think that a blueprint is a solid thing. Like, I don't think it's like stamped and it stays like that forever. For me, God is very fluid and he's constantly evolving, because as we understand things better, then we get a different idea of what something is. So it's not like we're going to get a download of, well, somebody might actually, but my expectation is that we're just going to get an impression of something. So Dan, if you're happy to. So just get comfortable, just close your eyes if that makes you feel comfortable, and we're just going to step into that, the heart of God, into that place of his creation, in that place of newness. So Father, we just come. We step into your heart and we ask you to come and unravel our DNA. Father, we want every memory, every understanding that is not of you, that we have gathered through culture, through history, through the teachings of one person or another, through society. Father, every understanding of church and what that means, Father, we ask you to come and remove that from us. And we entwine ourselves with your heavenly golden DNA. And by faith, we just take on that understanding of what this is about, who we are, what you're calling us to be, what our identity is in you. stay down there, couldn't I? So, did anybody get any experience that they'd like to share? I know when we used to have our midweek group, we often would step in and people would share something and they'd be like, oh, I don't really know what this means, but, you know, this is just what I saw. So has anybody got something that they think, oh, I don't know what it means, but I'm happy to share it? I know it is a bit scary. Okay, I'll share what I saw, because I don't know if I necessarily understand all of it, but it sort of helps you perhaps understand how these things work. So I was sat on the floor and I saw this golden light, like a thread, but bigger and more, with less density than something that was solid. So this golden light is spiraling above my head and starts to go through my head. And I'm thinking, yeah, I actually really need my thoughts transformed here. And it continued to spiral through me and just work its way through me. And then I saw this image of, does anybody know what Chinese firecrackers look like? It's like you light one and then they just, you have this sort of like succession of mini explosions that go off. And that's what I felt like God was doing inside of me, that he was just exploding things that needed to be removed in a very sort of dynamic but actually quite exciting way. It didn't feel negative, it felt positive. And then I began to just have some memories of my church experience over the years. And I just felt like a real deep sense of gratitude, actually, because this is not about dissing what went before. This is not saying that everything was rubbish. But actually, for any of us who've been in church over the years, I imagine that there was good in what you did. And, you know, I used to be part of the Anglican Church in my childhood and teenage years, and I loved it. You know, I loved the ceremony, I loved the ritual, I loved the pattern of it. For me, it just was very sacred, and I feel a deep sense of gratitude for the things that I've experienced and for the friendships and for the people that I related to. So this is about honouring our history as well as saying we want to move forward and do something different. So one of the questions I keep asking myself is, when Jesus said, I will build the church, or he can be also interpreted as I will build the ecclesia, it's like, what was he talking about? You know, what was he thinking? Not like, oh, what on earth was he thinking? But actually, what was in his understanding when he said those words? And I think we have we've had an understanding of what that meant, and then our understanding has changed and we're like, oh no, it wasn't that, it must be this. And I'm still in that place where I don't know what Jesus was saying. I don't know what he was planning. I don't know what his thoughts were. I know that it's built on what Peter said. So Peter said that Jesus was the Son of God. So the church is built on that understanding that we have relationship with God, we have relationship with Jesus, and we have salvation, whatever that means. So we have connection, and I believe that it means that not only do we have connection, but we have all the inheritance of who Jesus was. So I think the church is to do with being. It's to do with being like Jesus. It's to do with having relationship with the Father and having relationship with each other, because they have relationship with each other. You know, this is just my very limited understanding. So, again, I'm going to ask us to engage, because I think we need to find these answers together. You know, I don't want... Absolutely, yeah.
So, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago maybe, and it connects with Alice's golden thread, I was in House of Prayer and God showed me a golden thread that threads its way through the streets of Barnstable, and it's like a firecracker. It's going off and it's sparking all the way through Barnstable, and God has reminded me of this when we were in the heavenlies, and he showed me that it's not us that convict, it is God that convicts. This vision I was given, have been given repeatedly, of this firecracker golden thread going off through the whole of Barnstable, and then people are convicted and they fall to their knees because God convicts them, and crowds of people are drawn into Barnstable. People can't move because people are so densely packed together. He's called them to himself. So I just wanted to share that with you about this golden thread. And I'd never thought about the fact that it's like a firecracker until you mentioned the word firecracker. So I don't know if it means anything, but that's it. Thanks.
Excellent. And would you like to share?
I was taken into a tower that looked like a tower, a little bit like a turret, if you like, more like a turret. And the top of it was sort of dome-shaped, and at the top of it was light that's like I can describe it probably as a firework. Imagine thousands of fireworks, sparklers together in one place. You light the whole lot in one go, and the light coming off and crackling like that. And I didn't understand what that meant, except I saw the Lord briefly, and he prayed over me, or declared over me, DNA is being renewed now. What has been stolen is being restored now. And something else I won't mention. But anyway, as soon as you mentioned the light, I thought, maybe this is the signal, because I was thinking, is that just my imagination or did I really experience that? So, light was what it was all about.
Thank you. Does anybody else want to share? Because, you're probably getting tired of my voice at this point. Yeah.
Again, going back a few years ago, God assigned me to be part of a raiding party to go into the enemy's camp and to actually plunder and take back that the enemy had stolen. And everything that I was sent on this raiding party on behalf of God to plunder and take back was bright and gold and shiny and glittery, and everything good had been taken from us. So God took me back there today, and actually that's empty. He said, you've got back everything. As an ecclesia, you've got back everything. Everything's gone. It's just like a dirt floor. He doesn't have anything of ours anymore.
Excellent. So, the way that God works is that he doesn't necessarily give you the whole picture, but he gives you just snippets and it all comes together. And as I said, I want this to be a journey that we walk on together. I don't think that... I think there's some things that God has not changed his mind about in terms of who we are. I do believe that God has said that we're about relationship, and relationship with each other and relationship with God. I also believe that God has said that we're about responsibility. And so whatever that looks like in terms of us learning how to govern, I still believe that God is saying that. But it may be that we need to unpack how that works for us as a body. So, again, what I don't want is this to be like a brainstorm. I don't want people to think, this is what I want. But actually, what we're trying to engage with is what God wants. And you may have desires, and if it may be that God has put desires on your heart, so it feels like it's you wanting something, but it's actually God has given you that desire. So actually, no answer is wrong. And sometimes our soul gets in the way and we may not hear God clearly, but that's okay, because let's include everything at this point. And then, I trust that things that aren't what God wants for us will drop away. You know, we're not going to have to get worried about, we can't include that because it might be wrong. But actually, God sees our heart and he sees that we just want to do it his way. And so let's just be open for that. So what I'd like us to do is, there are bits of paper here that you can write on, and a few pens. So if you feel you want to write something down personally, Do we want to give out paper? Or do you think people... Are you more likely to use paper if you've got it in your hand or if you come and get it? Karen, would you like to give out bits of paper? Because I actually reckon that you're more likely to use them if you've been given them. But if you need more paper, come and get more.
I will just share. I forgot to mention when I was earlier that there is bread and juice over there. And while we were just stepping in, I actually wanted to get up and take it myself because we were thinking about engaging with God's DNA. And for me, that's a physical act that represents spiritual reality. So just to remind you that that's there. And we are part of Christ's body as well as each other. We could do it. I did wonder about actually passing it round.
This is evolving as we do it, but, you know, I think that people are more likely to do something if they're given it than if they're asked to come and get it. Yeah. Don't feel you have to take communion if you don't want to, but Karen's just going to come around, and if you would like to just engage with... actually, I'm going to read out the prayer. And again, this is Mike's prayers. A few years ago... Oh, I don't know, a couple of years ago, a friend of mine was doing a 40-day fast, and she said that she was going to take communion every day. So I said, well, that's okay. I'm not going to do the fast, but I will support you in doing communion every day. So every single day for 40 days, we would message each other, and we would take it in turns to pray for the bread or the juice. And we just started, like, just praying whatever we felt. And I recorded those prayers. And for me, it was like, this is amazing. These are great. These are really good. And these are a really good starting point. But actually, for me, doing it and I having to, like, be thankful for what God had done in the bread or in the juice, in the blood or the body, every single day, really focus my attention on what God had done for me. And I began to, like, get real revelation and found myself praying things that I was just like, oh, wow, that's really good. Where did that come from? So sometimes it's really good to have a framework, but may I encourage you, if you're taking communion at home, just ask God to show you what he's doing through this. So we have two here. We've got applying the body and blood of Jesus and applying the blood, body and blood of Jesus for the renewal of the mind. So I think I'm going to start off by reading out the renewal of the mind one. So it says, and if you just want to get into that place where you're engaging with it yourself while I read it out. So it says, I eat your flesh and drink your blood so that I will have the mind of Christ. I engage in the body and blood of Jesus and I embrace the transforming power of the mind of Christ within it. I engage the record containing the light, sound, and frequency of God's consciousness for the renewal of my mind back to its eternal condition. I embrace the record of the dimensions of the kingdom released in my mind by the thoughts of God to renew, rewire, and restore my brain and thinking. I engage God's thoughts and apply them to my mind for health and wholeness, to break and remove all negative neural pathways linked to my conscience. I speak to my marrow and command it to be a new source of blood that will renew and rewire the cells of my brain so that I can think like a son of God. I apply the frequency of God's thoughts resonating with truth to transform my mind into the mind of Christ by removing all lies and breaking all strongholds. I command every neural pathway attached to negative memories and ungodly behaviors to be broken and new neural pathways aligned to truth to be formed. I apply the blood of Jesus to all negative and impure memories and break all connections to sin and trauma, mind and thinking be renewed. I apply the blood of Jesus to all negative images within my imagination, and all negative belief systems within my reason center. Mind, be cleansed. I call my mind to resonate with the thoughts of God contained within the mind of Christ and come into alignment and agreement with an eternal perspective. I choose that my brain and mind be conformed to the likeness of my Father and brother in heaven to release the creative capacity of sonship. Let the word of God be breathed into my mind, unlocking its true capacity, releasing the supernatural abilities of God. I trigger the ability for telepathic communication, telekinetic transmutation power. I trigger the ability of creative thought, translation, bilocation, pre- and post-cognition, and time travel. So we have, there's a one for the body as well. So they're wild and exciting declarations. So what I'd like us to do is to, as I said, this is not a brainstorming session. We're not coming up with clever ideas. We're actually just engaging the Father. And we've already begun that process this morning. And it's really encouraging that people are sharing what they're seeing and the, you know, what God is revealing already. So when we ask God to show us something, he shows us in all sorts of ways. Jesus often used parables. He may give us a scent of something. He may give us just a broad overview of something that is symbolic. He may show us a very small aspect of something. You may just get a feeling or an emotion of what he's showing you. It's not going to be like a multicolored, it may be, but it won't necessarily be like a multicolored cinematic screening of all that he has for you. Because we're a body and we want to value everybody, actually, I'm hoping that not one person will get everything, because we want to come together and we want to draw from everybody so that we get one big picture. So I've got a whiteboard here, and it may be relevant to write things down, or it may not be. I don't know. I just thought we'd have it there. But hopefully you can jot some things down on your paper. So we're going to do this for about 10 minutes to give us a really extended time of just seeking God for revelation of what church looks like, what it looks like for us as a people, what his heart is for where we're going and what it's all about, which is quite a big ask. So there are several places that you can go that may help you with this. So for me, I can engage with wisdom. So wisdom is a person. And you can go and ask her questions, or you can just go and ask her for a download. And again, it may be that you will engage with something and you feel that in your spirit you're getting real revelation, but your head does not connect with it at all. And that is good. That's fine. And what you do is then you just embrace that revelation and trust that when you need to know things in your head, they will come out. So we could go to Wisdom's Heights if you feel that that's somewhere you can go. I also personally engage in the four faces of God. So for me, the four faces of God in my imagination are so that it's the four faces, but they rotate like in a column. And what I do is I stand and I either put my head in to the column to get revelation, or I actually step right into the column because I just want to be surrounded by what God is saying. You may have places that you already go for wisdom, and just go to those places. Don't feel you have to go where I go. But just ask, because God is a good Father. And when we ask him, he responds, because he says, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. It says that God will not give us a snake if we ask for bread or something like that, or a stone. He's not going to give us something that's the wrong thing. If we're coming to him genuinely for revelation and for wisdom, he will respond to us, because he loves us and he's longing for us to do it his way, and he's longing to walk alongside us and to guide us. So just step in by faith to wherever you want to go, and we're just going to spend some time seeking him. I can imagine that some of you may be deep into something, but jot some stuff down if you feel you need to record what God showed you. So I'm very aware that for some people that may have been easy, for some people that may have been really difficult, but that's okay, because that's the process that we're in. We're wanting to engage with God. We're wanting to have heavenly revelation, and it takes practice. And so if you didn't get anything, just trust that you did. Even if you didn't connect with anything tangibly, but just trust that God did respond to your heart's cry for whatever you were looking for. So I'm going to, again, open this up. Does anybody want to share what they saw? And it may be really weird and wacky or very simple. So is anybody, Dan, you want to?
Yeah, what I saw was really to do with the journey. Closed my eyes and God put me on, it was like a deck of a 18th century sailing ship. So you can imagine you heard the sea, you heard the wind, the creaking, all that sort of thing. I sort of said, okay, that's very nice, God, but what's this? Show me. So he said, when you board the ship for a journey, you're putting trust in the captain of that ship to A, get you where you need to go, B, get you there safely, and C, get you there safely despite the dangers and perils that are out on the sea. In those days, of course, ships didn't have stabilizer or anything, so it was really down to the skill of the captain. What's so different from journey with God? Some of you don't know God, but as with the captain on board that ship, you still, when you go on a journey, you still put your trust in him that he's going to keep you safe. Well, God was saying, I'm no different. You can put your trust in me, that no matter what journey is, where we're going, whatever dangers are around, he says, I will get you there safely. And along the way, you'll learn so much more about me, what I can do for you, and what you can do with me. By the time you reach your destination, you'll never be the same again.
Excellent. That's good. And I think throughout this whole sort of the last few weeks, whenever we've been seeking God as a seven, God has constantly said, I'm with you, I'm next to you, I'm beside you, I'm for you, I've got a plan. You know, it's like he's been really reassuring. And just to say with what Dan was saying, it's like, actually, I don't know if there is a destination. I don't think we're ever going to get there, but we are going to be on a journey. anybody else feel that they want to share what God showed them? I know it's scary. It's like, oh my goodness, what will people think? They might think I'm weird. Well, we all think you're weird anyway, so it's fine. Okay, I'll show you what God showed me. And I don't understand all of this, so that's fine. So I went to engage with Wisdom, and she held out a lidded cedar wood box. I don't know why I knew it was cedar wood, but I did. And she opened the lid for me. And as she opened the lid, these white butterflies came out, and I felt a sense of freedom and joy as they flew out. And then I felt to look in the bottom of the box, and this box was not big, just a small box. And there was a small, sort of rather an ornate scroll in the bottom of the box. And as you do, I ate the scroll. And as I ate it, I realized that it was much larger. It was sort of like a compressed thing, that it was much larger, actually, than it looked to me. And it became this very big thing. But I don't really know what that was about. and then I was on top of this hill, and I saw sort of like the grass just blowing in the wind, and just felt this really lovely warm wind. It wasn't a breeze. It was like a more than a breeze. It was a wind, and I felt a sense of excitement and anticipation. And then I was aware that the sun was shining, and I just felt this sense of love and acceptance. And I felt like God was showing me that he was pouring this out on us, but actually he was also looking to us to allow that love and acceptance to flow out from us. And I just got the words ease, blessing, and hope. So, anybody else? I just want to give you space. Oh, Mike.
Okay. I mean, the place I tend to like going whenever I want something is the Throne of Grace, because the Throne of Grace is a place you can go and you can receive grace and mercy of time of need. So I love to go and sit on my dad's lap, which is what the Throne of Grace represents to me. So I love just sitting there. So I went to sit on the Throne of Grace, and I sat on his lap, and I just started to rest. And I started to come to that place of rest, and my head was on his chest, and I felt the rhythm of his heart. And the rhythm of his heart started to not increase as much as get stronger. It felt, I'm feeling the rhythm of his heart. And then as I'm just there thinking, oh, you know, this is a nice place. Doesn't really matter if I see anything here or not, to be honest. But I did. I started to see a foundation stone. And I remember Alice said it earlier about the foundation. Jesus is the rock. Now, when you think of a rock, I don't know what you think about, but it tends to be sort of the thing I find in the garden, you know, sort of a dirty old rock. But actually, Jesus isn't like that as a rock, as a sort of just some common or garden stone. It was very much more, this was precious. And I saw this rock, and it was like being cut out of a bigger mountain. And it was like being cut out, and it was like, when I started to look at it, it was more like precious stones. And then I saw this rock being laid as a foundation. And it wasn't, again, just the wise man builds his house on the rock and it's sort of just a piece of solid ground. Actually, it was just all these beautiful gemstones. And it reminded me of, you know, the foundation of the New Jerusalem being 12 precious stones. And it describes all these precious stones. And it felt like that, that God was laying a precious foundation that had so many more attributes than a piece of rock, and so much more to build on than just a piece of rock, that God was going to unveil and reveal the meaning of those stones and the meaning of the preciousness of all the things. Because 12 is a thing of government. That's what 12 means in the Bible. And there are these 12 foundational stones. But then I actually then started to see living stones, because it talks about us being living stones being built together as a holy temple unto God, and we're a new wineskin of that temple. So I started to see these stones, and again, they weren't just stones, they weren't just any old stone, they were all also precious stones, and were all gemstones, and all carried with them a fragrance and a frequency and a color. And as they all started to come together, they were connected together with one another, and they seemed to fit. You know, it wasn't like, oh, well, they don't fit, or I'm going to have to get this hammer, I'm going to chip them all away. Actually, they just seemed to fit together. But actually, between them all, it just looked like this sort of liquid gold. And it was sort of connecting all the stones together on this foundation, and you know, he was building it. You know, that was the thing. He was building. I saw him taking all these different stones and put them together. And I sort of thought, okay, what is the gold that's between all the stones? And I just felt it was love, joy, and peace. And that when we are actually built on the real foundation of Jesus and all that he really means, and not just sort of some common or garden rock, but a precious set of stones, that we will come together and discover our preciousness as being part of that, and also come together with love, joy, and peace, and be cemented together in that sort of relational perspective of love.
Thank you. Yes, good.
I thought I'd just sit down this time, but it's okay. Yeah, it's interesting. After Mike shared, I thought, okay, I guess I'll have to share now too. But initially, when we did our first engagement, I sort of saw different waves kind of in all around the world of kind of like vibrant communities popping out, just kind of like one wave after another, and just kind of being this light, you know, around the world. And then in our next engagement just now, had this sense of us being like a city on a hill, and that city, you know, being vibrant, being you know, like a community. Everybody has their different roles and strengths, and but it's like we're in this together. We're building this city together, and which, you know, in my sense was a sense of the New Jerusalem as well. And there's this scripture of the New Jerusalem actually coming down from heaven, being on earth. And so I think that's part of what God is calling us to administrate that heavenly community, what it looks like to be in that community of love, joy, and peace. And I think that's pretty challenging, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but I've learned in life, relationships is not so easy, right? It can be quite difficult sometimes as we don't understand each other's behavior, as we don't understand where somebody's coming from with their thinking, with their feelings. And it can easily cause disconnection and disruption in that community. And but I've just had a real sense again that God's calling us to be like Jesus, to see like, okay, what does it really look like to love like him, you know, like he did. And just kind of back to those basics. Yeah, I think that was about it.
So if you do have something that you felt that God showed you but you don't want to share it publicly, that's absolutely fine. But it would be really great if you could jot it down and give it to me or give it to one of the seven, because we would really like to know what God is saying from your perspective. I also thought that possibly last week we gave opportunity for questions. So if you do have any questions, you can ask them now, or you know, again, write them down, give them to us. If you feel that you need to understand more, we want people to be able to engage with this. And if you don't understand, please ask. I thought of three things to say, and I can't remember what the third one was. Oh, yeah. also, this may be a bit awkward, but if you fancied doing this, you can. And if you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. But if you want to hug somebody and say to each other, we're in this together, and that would be helpful, then we'll do that in a minute. So you can just think about it. And if you want to run away and hide, that's fine. what I think it would be really good to do is to... okay, this is what I do. If this doesn't resonate with you, that's great. But what I do is often when I seek God, I may get like a bit of something, or I may get a lot, or I may get nothing. But what I want to do is I want to say yes to what God is giving me, and I want to like purposefully engage with it. And so what I personally do is I wrap my spirit around the revelation that God has given me, whether I've understood it or not, whether I've seen anything or not, and I take it as part of who I am, because I want to include it in me. I want to honor it. So I'm just going to lead us in a quick prayer of doing that. And if you don't understand, or if you feel that God has shown you to do it a different way, then go with that. That's great. So, oh, Father and Jesus and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here with us, and you are with us every single moment. And you are in this process with us, and you are leading us, and you're guiding us, and you're directing us. And you know the answers even when we don't. And we thank you for everything that you have given to us this morning, and everything that you have taken away. And we come and we choose to purposefully wrap our spirits around everything that you have given us, whether we've understood it in our heads or whether we've just understood it in our spirits, but we embrace what you've given us. We honor it, and we thank you for it. And we say that we are transformed by what you have given us. And we, by faith, expect that to pour out of us and become who we are, and to change our way of thinking, and to change our expectations, and to change our understanding. And we thank you that you only give us good things. And we bless you, Father. Amen. So, if you fancy hugging somebody and saying, we're in this together, go for it. If that's just not your thing, then don't worry about it. And we're done. But can I just encourage you to consider pondering this? It's like we're on this journey. We're not just going to think about it on a Sunday, but just in the week, just like, what does this look like? God, what are you saying to us? Where are we going? What's it all about?